Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are continuing in Matthew 13 with more of the parables, the great treasure, the amazing pearl, and the nothing can escape it, dragnet. And just what do these mean to us today?
Well, you know, this is in the book of Matthew, Jesus is trying to explain the kingdom to us and how his kingship is the most important thing. And from that flows his kingdom, which we're a part of. And then out of that grows the church, all of the expressions throughout time, including the one that's happening in our city right now. And that's how it works together. The strength of the church is our king. And it's our connection to being seeds of the kingdom and watching that kingdom grow through us and seeing the kingdom expand in our lives. And that's what we're talking about today. We're kind of in the middle of these great examples.
Oh, yeah. And this one about the hidden treasure, I just love this. It's two sentences, I think, but what you can get out of it. And when you think about it, it took me a little bit in thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, the idea sort of exploded. But it says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field.
Well, it's a great story, and I've got some images in my head because of some of the things that I've read and considered. But not only is the kingdom wrapped up in seeds and soils and sowing, Jesus is explaining it's like a small mustard seed, which shelters, leaven, which energizes. But now it's like a hidden treasure of surpassing worth. So he's really talking about the value, and it's the hope of uncovered, buried eternal retirement funds. And it's a pinnacle of value, like an amazing pearl, and it's a fishing net of massing use to the king and a great benefit to the fish. And
you know, it's sort of like insider trading, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, we know what's going to happen.
You know of something that is worth a bunch of money, and you go sell everything you have to purchase it because you know it's worth more than you already have.
There's a great book. It's one of those little bitty books that have been published. It's called The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. If
it's
you've never read it.
It's hard to find. Whatever you can do to find it, it is worth it.
Well, he does he just explains this parable and draws it out and what it would be like to be the man and to be on a journey and to take a shortcut, and you know, you've got your walking stick and thunk, you hit something and you dig it up and you go, oh my goodness. There's this treasure, and so you carefully bury it and put everything back, and you know you can't take it because it doesn't really belong to you, and you go and sell everything you have, and you come back and you buy this parcel of land, and the treasure is now legally yours and morally yours.
Well, yes, and what a risk. What if he sold all that he had, bought a farm, and the treasure had been removed? You know, we enter the kingdom by faith.
Yeah, so he's probably being really careful with the leaves when he was putting
them back. I imagine. But that's really the heart of this parable, isn't it? The treasure has paid our debt for our sin.
Yeah, and it's all about the value of that. And you know, if you really look at the kingdom of heaven like this guy looked at it, you know, it basically captured his imagination. It captured his dreams. And he was really willing to take everything that he owned, because it wasn't like he didn't have possessions, but he was willing to sacrifice those in order to get something that he had put his heart on and his attentions on.
And somehow he knew that what was in there was an actual treasure.
Yeah.
Excuse me, actually was worth something. And that treasure has taken care of our deepest poverty.
Yes, in the deepest part of who we are.
This traveler wasn't looking for the treasure. It's almost like the treasure found him.
Yeah, funk.
I like that, yes. The treasure offers us things we didn't even know we wanted or needed yet. So it wasn't like he was looking for it. It answered some needs that maybe he didn't even know, because it would have paid for needs in the future. It would have paid for future expenditures.
Yeah.
And just like our debt, you know, if we continue to sin, it pays for everything.
Well, I'm kind of giving you that blank look right now because my mind has gone somewhere else in the scripture.
I know, I'm not making any sense.
No, you're doing a great job. I'm thinking about in Timothy where it talks about we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, that is we're carrying with us. And as we're thinking about this analogy of the man and the field and the thunk and all those different things, I think, you know, that's kind of what my kingdom relationship with God is like. Every once in a while, I'll go, oh my goodness, you know, I'm just so wrapped up in the things around me. I have to go back to where I look at that that treasure that's been placed inside mm-hmm. of me and think about the value. And it's almost like kind of taking it out and examining it and looking uh-huh. at it and going, yes, yes, yeah. this really does have value to me and to my soul.
Well, and that was one of the things I wrote down. This is wealth that meets our deepest needs. And just what you said, being able to pull it out and look at it and be reminded of its worth, it does something to you deep in your heart, well, deep in your soul.
It's how you find your true self and also how you achieve a satisfied mind, because your heart, what you want to have peace, and peace comes as a result of a satisfied mind. And a satisfied mind comes as a result of having some of this stuff sorted out, the very things that are in these parables that Jesus is trying to explain on a heart level to his followers.
Mm-hmm. Just being so thankful what God has done, that it's worth everything to us. I think it's cool. So then he goes on and says...
Oh, you get to read about the pearl too.
Do you want to?
No, go ahead.
Also, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
So I'm trying to imagine, and you know more about pearls than I do because you actually have some pearls, I think, that your mother had.
Well, there are some pearls that are worth it, and there are pearls that aren't as worth it.
Like faux pearls?
Well, yes, there are fake pearls, but then there are just some cheaper pearls, and then there are perfect pearls. So this guy knew what he was looking for. He knew it when he saw it.
He was looking for fine pearls.
Yes. And when he unlike the guy looking for the treasure, he wasn't looking for it. He ran across it. The pearl, he was looking for it. He was searching for something.
I have heard two conversations, I've been made a part of two conversations where people have discovered the treasure of Jesus just in the last couple of weeks.
I know, it's so fun. And you are so lucky.
And as you hear them describing it, or even being described by the people that are with them, that's what you realize. They didn't even know that they were looking mm-hmm. for something, but they knew they wanted something with value. And when they found it, they realized the value that it had to them, and it came out in the things that they were saying. Like I'm choking,
I know.
Well,
okay,
up.
So one of the things, since you're kind of choked up, the one guy prayed, and when he was done, he said, "Oh my, the weight on my shoulders is less."
Yeah, it was wonderful.
I mean, so, that's a treasure.
Well, and he found that amazing pearl. You know, you mm-hmm. go through life and you're looking for things, and it's not like we don't know what has value. I mean, we know the difference between a not good pearl and something that is really
we know the difference between pop beads.
Yeah, yeah,
pearls, right?
Yeah, we can. And some of us better than others. One pearl is just like another. I look at this and I go, oh, it must have been like, I don't know, a foot across or something. But I think there was something probably more to it
exactly.
than that. Because how could you wear a pearl that big? And how big of a clam or a oyster would that come out of?
Okay, so then we go to...
The great net.
Yes.
Is that
once again? Yeah,
you want to read this one too?
Do you want to read it?
No, go ahead.
Once again, the kingdom of heaven, or it says, or the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
You know, being a fisherman myself, and, I only do it on the end of one line or a couple mm-hmm. of lines at a time. It's taken me a while. And I think when we got to the Sea of Galilee and kind of looked at the nets and looked at the boats, you know, some of the boats that they'd, surfaced and dug up and whatever, it made me realize that the dragnet idea is a little bit different than I'm mm-hmm. used to. You know, you basically... You put it in and you take everything you get. So in my speak, you would get walleyes and you would get bluegills and you would also get carp.
Right.
And catfish. Of course, I don't want to insult catfish because, a lot of people like catfish. But, what happens is the dragnet comes through and it basically picks up everything. And then you sort them. And so the end of the age, it's hard. It's kind of like back to the wheat and the tares. Everything is growing up together. But the dragnet goes through, and it's going to be sorted at the end of the age.
So I'm assuming the dragnet has something like floats on the top and
yes.
weights on the bottom so that it doesn't miss anything.
Right.
Don't you think
it's
that's
like a
kind
vacuum.
Of the point?
Yeah.
And everything that it touches along the way comes along with it. But what I find is interesting that the angels come, and it doesn't sound like they just flip through some, save some, flip some away. It sounds like they really go through them and save the good ones and right. get rid of anything that's unhealthy, anything that doesn't have scales, you know, anything that's
only,
unclean.
Only has lips. One of my favorite memories, my dad's gone now, but one of the things that we did in our family, and my grandfather did this too, is we'd catch a carp and you'd let him go because, you know, you didn't want to, you know, kill him or anything like that. So we would slap him across the face, you know, lightly, you know, just kind of cuff him up. And then we'd say, don't ever bite again. And we throw them in. So, yeah. So there are some fish that are going to make it. I'm not sure it's going to look quite the way humans think that's going to happen, because the angels will know how to sort based on God's standards.
I think it's interesting. The peril assumes that we will definitely rub shoulders, or like knots in the net. We'll rub shoulders with believers and unbelievers alike. It's sort of assumed that as we're being dragged in, this is at the end of the time, but during the time we've been rubbing shoulders with this good and evil all the time.
Yeah. So that leads me to ask some questions. I want to have a satisfied mind, and I want to see my life from the vantage point of my Creator. And so I have to ask these questions. Do I feel like my ears are able to hear when I listen to these parables? Second of all, do I feel like my eyes are open? And third of all, is my heart soft toward the King and His kingdom? Mm-hmm. And basically, these parables are explaining what that looks like.
Well, and I do have a question about that when you said that, is your heart soft toward the King and His kingdom? Because it seems like these last three parables sort of come out when He's just with the disciples.
Right.
And that must have meant that as He talked about this one with the dragnet, Judas must have been there.
Absolutely.
And so interesting.
They're almost to the end.
Yeah. So He's not saying all this to multitudes, to lots of people who don't believe and some who believe. He's obviously talking to people He loves dearly. And yeah. Judas is one of them. And he realizes he's not one of the fish that's going to be kept.
Well, one of the things you realize as you read the Gospels is that Jesus shared these parables many times, and they would be springboards then with His disciples and with other people who were becoming His disciples. So it's not like the rabble couldn't understand. Mm-hmm. It's that there was a process that people were going through in order for the parables to be understood in their hearts. So that leads to questions like, in what ways does my life provide shelter to others, going back to the mustard seed? And how does my life energize the souls of others around me, like the leaven? And in what ways do you feel the kingdom has value to you, the amazing pearl or the great net?
The treasure.
These are just beautiful images that God has given for us to meditate on and to try to develop our own heart and life pictures that help us to embrace what the kingdom really is.
And those things all just make me more and more grateful. The more I spend time meditating and thinking about it, things become clearer. I become also more thankful.
He gets done with this, and I love this. He says, have you understood all these things? And they said to Him, yes, which is great. I just love their confidence. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe... And we'll talk about this a little bit next time when we get together. Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and things old. Mm-hmm. And this is like a beautiful conclusion, but you'll have to wait till next time. Thanks, Bernadette. That was fun. Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forestream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we're finding hope at forestream.com.